Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling a topic that might sound a little bit heavy at first glance, new creation and land in the New Testament. But trust me, it's way more interesting and relevant than it might sound.
Yeah, these concepts are surprisingly tied to how we think about Jesus, what it means to have eternal life, even how we live today.
Exactly. Our guide for this deep dive is a lecture by New Testament scholar Dr. David L. Mathewson. Now, full disclosure, the lecture itself is pretty academic, but we're here to break it down, pull out those fascinating insights, and make sure it all makes sense for you.
Yeah, think of us like your translators, taking these complex ideas and having a casual conversation about them.
Perfect. So Mathewson kicks things off by making this interesting connection between Jesus and the land. It might seem a little strange at first, right? Mm-hmm. We tend to think about Jesus' mission as saving souls, not, you know, claiming territory.
Right. But you got to remember, for the ancient Israelites, the land wasn't just dirt. It represented God's blessing, their identity, their whole way of life. It was everything.
I see. So when the Old Testament talks about a future king from David's line, a son of David, it's not just about some political dynasty. It's about restoring their land and giving them a chance to flourish again.
Exactly. And the New Testament is super clear that Jesus is that promised son of David. We see it right away in Matthew 1.1. And it's affirmed in places like Hebrews 1 and Ephesians 1. So Mathewson's point is that if Jesus is reigning as that David's king right now, then that promise about the land has to be finding some kind of fulfillment in a new way.
So is that where the whole already but not yet thing comes in? Like, the promise is being fulfilled in some way now, but there's also a future completion that we're still waiting for.
Bingo. And that leads perfectly into another key point. Mathewson makes eternal life. What comes to mind when you hear that phrase?
Honestly, I usually picture, you know, floating on clouds in heaven someday, the classic afterlife picture.
I think a lot of people do. But Mathewson argues that eternal life is about way more than just living forever. He connects it back to the Old Testament, specifically Isaiah 65 and the Tree of Life in Genesis.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Those passages highlight overcoming death and experiencing real abundant life, both in the present and the future.
So it's not just about escaping death. It's about experiencing a different kind of life right here, right now.
Yet Mathewson is suggesting that by following Jesus, by being connected to him, we're actually tapping into this new reality, this new creation that's already breaking into the present.
That's pretty mind-blowing.
It is. And it's not just some vague spiritual feeling either. Mathewson points to a very dramatic scene in Matthew 27 to illustrate this.
Oh, I love a good Bible story. You're talking about when Jesus dies on the cross and suddenly the earth shakes, tombs break open, and holy people who had died are resurrected. That part always gives me chills.
It's powerful imagery, for sure. And Mathewson interprets it as a symbolic picture of the old world, the old order literally breaking down while the new creation starts to emerge. Resurrection becomes this key sign that something truly cosmic is happening.
So it's like the universe itself is reacting to Jesus's death and resurrection. And if that's just the beginning, I can't even imagine what the full unveiling of the new creation will be like.
Right. We get a little preview of that in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul talks about our bodies being transformed just like Jesus's resurrected body. Mm-hmm. We go from perishable to imperishable. It's a pretty incredible promise.
Wow. It's all connected to our union with Christ, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that brings us to Romans 6,
where Paul says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." It's like this cosmic dance of death and resurrection.
It is a powerful analogy. Mathewson's point is that being baptized into Christ means we share in his death and resurrection. We die to our old selves and are raised to new life in him.
So this newness of life isn't something way off in the future. It's happening now.
Precisely. It's a present reality. We'll be right back after a quick break. So before the break, we're really starting to dig into how this whole idea of new creation isn't just some theoretical idea. It actually has a huge impact on how we're supposed to live.
Yeah, Mathewson spends a big part of his lecture focusing on those ethical implications. He really wants to hammer home that point that this isn't just some abstract theological thing. It has real consequences for how we interact with the world, how we treat others.
Right. It's not just about what we believe about Jesus and the new creation. It's about allowing that reality to actually change how we live.
Totally. And he keeps pointing back to those ethical lists that we find in Colossians and Ephesians, those ones that tell us to get rid of anger and malice and greed, and instead to clothe ourselves with kindness and compassion and forgiveness.
Right. Those lists can sometimes feel like a moral checklist. You know, are we being good enough?
Exactly.
But Mathewson is suggesting that there's something deeper going on.
Okay, so what's he getting at?
Well, he argues that these aren't just random rules. They're not some self-improvement project. These virtues, these qualities, are actually the fruit of that new creation life that's now at work inside us because of Christ.
Oh, that's a really interesting way to think about it. It's not about us trying to earn our way into the new creation by being good. It's about recognizing that we're already in it by grace, and then allowing that new life to naturally overflow into everything we do.
You got it. It's less about striving and more about letting that new creation power work through us. And that transformation, that renewal, it's not just limited to our individual lives either.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how Matthewson connected Jesus' title, Son of David, back to those land promises in the Old Testament?
Yeah, he was saying that those promises pointed toward a future where God's reign would extend over all creation, not just one little piece of land in the Middle East.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he suggests that Jesus, as the true Son of David, is already starting to establish that reign, that rule.
Mm.
But like everything else we've been talking about, it's an already but not yet situation.
Okay, so we're living in this in-between time. The new creation is breaking in, but we're still waiting for it to be completely realized. That's where things get really interesting and maybe a little confusing. Because it means that we have a responsibility to live as citizens of this new creation, even while we're still kind of stuck in the old one.
Yeah, there's definitely a tension there. So how do we actually do that? How do we live as new creation people in a world that's still so full of sin and brokenness? What does that look like in practical terms?
That's the million-dollar question. And I don't think Matthewson gives us an easy answer. Maybe that's the point.
I think you might be right. He's inviting us to really wrestle with this tension, to figure out what it means to embody the new creation in our own specific context in our everyday lives. There's no one-size-fits-all formula.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about what the new creation is, but if I'm being honest, sometimes I get stuck on the why. Like, why should we even care about all this? What difference does it make in the day-to-day grind?
That's a great question. And I think there are a few reasons why this whole new creation idea really matters. First, it gives us hope.
I'm always up for some hope, especially these days. The world can feel so dark and messed up.
I hear you. But this idea of the new creation reminds us that God is at work making all things new. It's a light shining in the darkness, a promise that things won't always be this way.
I love that image. So hope is one reason to care. What else?
It also gives us a sense of purpose. Knowing that we're part of this grand story of cosmic renewal, that we're actually playing a role in God's plan to restore all of creation well, that gives our lives meaning and significance. We're not just wandering around aimlessly, you know. Our actions, they actually matter.
So it's not just about escaping death. It's about experiencing a different kind of life, a life that's full even in the midst of suffering. It's about being part of something so much bigger than ourselves.
Exactly. And here's a third reason why this matters. It gives us power.
Power. Like superhero power.
Uh-huh. Maybe not exactly in the way you're thinking. But that same resurrection power that brought Jesus back from the dead, it's working in us too. It's what enables us to overcome sin, to say no to those old ways of behaving, and to start living lives filled with love, joy, peace, all that good stuff.
So it's not just about having the right beliefs. It's about that power actually transforming us from the inside out.
Exactly. Now, Matthewson brings up another really interesting point that connects this new creation idea back to those land promises in the Old Testament.
Didn't we already cover that?
We touched on it, but it's worth digging a little deeper. Matthewson suggests that those land promises weren't just about a physical piece of property.
You mean they weren't just about the Israelites getting their own country?
Right. It was about something much deeper. It was about God's desire for his people to truly flourish, to live in harmony with him and with each other. It was about shalom, that Hebrew word that means wholeness,
mm-hmm.
peace, well-being, everything being as it should be.
Oh, wow. So the land becomes the symbol of something so much greater, something that encompasses all of creation, a vision of how things are meant to be.
Exactly. And Matthewson argues that this intention, this vision, is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. He brings about a spiritual restoration that goes way beyond any physical boundaries.
It's not about going back to some perfect past. It's about moving forward into this new reality that Jesus has started.
You got it. And remember in Genesis 1, when God is creating the world, he keeps saying that it's good.
Yeah, and at the very end, he declares it very good. You can tell that God takes delight in his creation, that he wants it to thrive.
And that desire hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though sin has entered the world and messed things up, God is still committed to restoring his creation to that original goodness.
And that's where Jesus comes in. He's the one who makes that restoration possible through his death and resurrection. He breaks the power of sin and death and opens up this way for us to be reconciled to God and to experience the fullness of that new creation life.
That's a beautiful way to put it. We're being invited to step into this restored reality, to actually participate in God's ongoing work of making all things new.
It's an amazing invitation, but sometimes it feels a little overwhelming. Like, how can I possibly live up to that? Living as a new creation person in this old, messed up world, it can be so hard.
I know what you mean. It's definitely not easy.
Yeah.
There are days when I feel like I'm swimming upstream, you know, trying to live out these new creation values in a culture that often seems to be pushing against them.
Exactly. Like, I want to be loving and kind and forgiving, but sometimes I just get so frustrated with people and I fall right back into old patterns of anger and resentment.
We all do. And that's where grace comes in. We can't do this on our own strength. We need God's help, His empowering grace to live this new life.
So it's not about being perfect. It's about relying on God's power to change us from the inside out. It's a process, a journey, not a destination.
You said it. We're not going to magically become perfect new creation people overnight, but we can keep moving in that direction, taking it one step at a time, letting God's grace work in us and through us. And we don't have to do it alone. That's where community comes in.
Oh, for sure. We need each other to support us and encourage us along the way. We need people to remind us of the truth when we get discouraged, to challenge us when we slip up, and to celebrate with us when we see those little glimpses of the new creation breaking through.
It's like we're all on this journey together, helping each other to grow in how we understand and experience this new creation.
And as we do that, we'll start to see more and more of those glimpses, won't we? We'll see healing happening and reconciliation. We'll see justice being served. We'll see love winning out over hate.
It's like we're planting these little seeds of the new creation in the middle of all the old brokenness, and then we get to watch them sprout and grow,
yeah,
even if it's just a little bit at a time.
That's such a great image. It reminds us that even though we haven't reached the finish line yet, even though the world still feels so broken, the new creation is already at work. God is already doing something beautiful, and we get to be a part of it. Okay, so we're back. And wow, this deep dive has really got me thinking. We've covered so much ground from, you know, Jesus fulfilling these ancient promises to the power of the resurrection working in our lives right now.
Yeah, it really is a lot to process. And Matthewson just does such an amazing job of tying all these threads together.
One thing that keeps coming back to me is how he emphasized that this whole new creation idea isn't just some, you know, theoretical thing. It's not just a concept for theologians to debate. It has real practical implications for how we actually live our lives.
For sure. It's not just about believing the right stuff. It's about living it out.
And I think that's where a lot of us get tripped up, right? It's easy to get lost in all the, you know, heady theological stuff, but actually putting it into practice, that's the real challenge.
Absolutely. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, I believe in the new creation. It's another thing entirely to actually live that out in the, you know, messy, complicated reality of our everyday lives.
And Matthewson keeps coming back to those ethical lists in Colossians and Ephesians, you know, the ones that tell us to put away anger and malice and greed, and instead to put on kindness and compassion and forgiveness.
Right. And he was so clear that these aren't just like random rules, some moral checklist to tick off.
Yeah.
They flow directly from the character of God and this reality of the new creation.
So if we're truly experiencing this new creation life, if we're letting God's power transform us, then those virtues, those qualities are going to naturally start showing up in how we treat each other, how we interact with the world around us.
I think that's really it. It's not about trying to be good enough. It's about letting God's goodness work through us.
It makes me think of that passage in Galatians where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Exactly. Those things aren't something we can manufacture on our own. They're the natural byproduct of being connected to Christ, of letting the Holy Spirit do His work in us.
Which brings us full circle, doesn't it? Back to that image of God in Genesis. God creates humanity in His image, but then sin comes in and messes everything up, distorts that image.
Right. And Jesus, as the perfect image of God, comes to restore that image in us. It's not just about fixing some problem. It's about reclaiming our true identity, our original purpose.
And that purpose is all about reflecting God's character, His love, His goodness out into the world.
You got it. It's about being agents of reconciliation, agents of healing, agents of restoration, bringing little pieces of that new creation into the brokenness of the old.
So what does that actually look like? How do we do that in our everyday lives? The world feels so messed up right now. Where do we even begin?
I know it's easy to feel overwhelmed, but I think it starts with small things. Little acts of faithfulness, kindness, and love.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, it could be as simple as offering a listening ear to a friend who's going through a tough time. or volunteering at a local soup kitchen or homeless shelter, or speaking up when you see injustice happening, or even just, you know, choosing to be kind to that grumpy cashier at the grocery store.
Those are all things anyone can do, right? You don't have to be some kind of superhero or a saint to make a difference.
Exactly. And all those small acts multiplied a million times over, they start to add up to something pretty significant. It's like chipping away at the darkness little by little, letting the light shine through.
It's like each of us has this little spark of the new creation inside us. And when we share that spark with others, it can spread like wildfire.
I love that image. And it reminds me that even though we haven't arrived yet, even though the world still feels so broken, the new creation is already at work. God is doing something amazing, and we get to be a part of it.
We're living in that in-between time, like we were talking about earlier. The old is fading away, the new is breaking through, and we get to be a part of that transition.
What an incredible privilege to be alive in this moment in history, to witness the old giving way to the new.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this final thought, this challenge even. What's one small act of new creation that you can do today? What spark of God's love can you share with the world?
Don't overthink it. Just start small, be faithful, and see what God does.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey. And we'll see you next time for another deep dive into a topic that'll hopefully get you thinking and maybe even change the way you see the world.